Matthew 26. There's a lot of, and I guess it just depends on the circles you run in. In my circle, all these pastors have to get at each other this time of year because Jesus did not die on Friday. And every year we have to talk about that. He didn't die on Friday because, of course, there'll be a Good Friday observance. But no way you can do the math and come up with 3 days and three nights coming from Friday to Sunday morning. And so obviously it was a Wednesday that he died and then rose again. And understanding the Jewish day begins when the first star appears in the sky. That evening and the morning are the next day. And so he would have risen from the grave, risen from the tomb, and then really just revealed himself Sunday morning. But again, as we're on it, this is not Passover, and that would have occurred during Passover. So we're still a month away. But and there will be those who would criticize us for celebrating Easter when it's not Passover. But, you know, we'll celebrate Easter because there'll probably be a bunch of people here Sunday expected to celebrate Easter, right? Resurrection Day. And so we're going to celebrate the resurrection. By the way, that's the reason that we have church on Sunday is because that's Resurrection Day, the first day of the week. The first day of the week, Sunday, has always been Sunday. And so when people argue about the Sabbath is Saturday. It always has been Saturday, never changed. And so that is the day of rest. Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made to serve the Sabbath. And we don't serve the Sabbath, we serve the Lord. And the Sabbath is a day that he gave to us for our rest. But in the events of the week, of course, Sunday would have been Palm Sunday, as he entered into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey and came down the hill, and they laid out the palm branches in their jackets and they shouted Hosanna, as we just did in one of those songs, Hosanna. And they celebrated Jesus as he entered into the city of Jerusalem. And many of those who believed in Jesus, no doubt, because this was a momentous occasion, they had been building momentum up to that point, believed that Jesus would, in fact, declare himself king of the Jews in such a way that it would push the Romans back and Israel would be, again, a nation of its own. But their plan and God's plan were not the same. And that was even revealed at the point when Peter drew the sword and cut the ear off of the servant. And Jesus put the ear back, and it just messed up everything, didn't it, in their minds. But they were anticipating that the King of Kings would take the throne. But that was not the plan. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is not a physical kingdom as we see it, but it is spiritual, and it encompasses all of those under God's command. God is our king. He is our king. And so we live in the kingdom of God. We live under the kingdom of heaven. But you know who doesn't see it? Those who don't believe in God don't see what God is doing. How many of you have ever seen God work in people's lives? And you look and you go, well, that's God. And we look at the sunrise and the sunset, we say, that's God. And we look at the majestic mountains and we say, oh, that's God. And we look at the snow and the rain and the storms, and we don't like tornadoes, but when we look at them, it's undeniable the power of God that he put at force in the natural world. And so all of that comes together. That's all under the kingdom of God. And we look at verse number, let me just pause here and say they observed the Passover, the Passover with the apostles, with Jesus. He said, I want to do this with you. And in part of that Passover observance, they observed, or he initiated, what has come to be known as communion or the Lord's Supper. And so the elements that were present at that meal would have been the unleavened bread, and the beverage would have been wine or grape juice. We have to understand that as soon as you squeeze a grape, that liquid stuff that comes out is wine. It's not fermented, but it's wine. And so the older it gets and all that takes place, and it becomes more alcoholic. But as soon as you squeeze that grape, what comes out of it is defined in the scripture as wine. And so we don't use wine. We use grape juice to observe the Lord's Supper. But it would have been unleavened bread and the juice of the grape. How's that? That make you feel better? And then they observed that. Of course, Jesus washed their feet, didn't he? He He washed their feet because he was showing them service. He says, as I've done unto you, you should do to one another. When he got to Simon Peter, Simon says, Lord, you'll not wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And he said, okay, wash me completely. I'll take a bath if that's what it takes. But he backtracked, didn't he? And so Jesus washed their feet. Of course, this is the same time that Judas relieved himself of the company of the disciples, of the apostles. And there was question, what's he doing? And maybe he's going to go buy something. Jesus told him, what? Whatsoever thou doest, do it quickly. All right, Jesus knew the timetable. He knew it was Passover. He knew what had to happen. He knew the observance. He knew the Sabbath day, the day of preparation. All of that stuff had to come in line because it was already set. He said, whatever you're going to do, get it done. Judas went and he met with the chief priests. And while he was gone, of course, that's what I believe the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper in the absence of Judas. But then after they finished, the verse number 30 of chapter 26, the Bible says, when they had sung a hymn. So they finished their Passover by singing a hymn. And that is traditional. And then they went out into the Mount of Olives. We talked about that the other day, didn't we? We talked about Jesus going to Gethsemane. And so understanding that the old city of Jerusalem, which is what we see in all the pictures, the old city of Jerusalem, it within the walls. If we go outside the eastern gate and down the descent there across the Kidron Valley where the brook Kidron runs through, and then across the other side, it ascends up as the Mount of Olives to the top of that hill. And there in the midst of that is the cave or the grotto wherein is the oil press, which is what the term Gethsemane means, oil press. And in that grotto, that is most likely where he would have left the eight disciples, the eight apostles, as he took Peter, James, and John with him. And so it says, they went to the Mount of Olives. Verse 31, Jesus saith unto them, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. We're all going to be offended. Boy, you talk about preacher just offends people. Jesus said, everybody's going to be offended by me at one time. And you know that's true. You can't please everybody, but you can sure offend everybody just like that. And he says, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Verse 32, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So there it is. Remember, Jesus had discussed the crucifixion and resurrection on the Mount of Transfiguration. The apostles that were there, Peter, James, and John, knew that. So they were aware of this resurrection. And here again, he says about a resurrection, I will rise again when I'm risen again. What did he say about the temple? He said, I'll tear it down in 3 days, I'll build it back again. Well, what was he talking about? He was talking about his flesh. And so, verse 33, Peter answered and said unto them, because he's like a lot of us, he doesn't know when to just listen, right? He gave us a lot of lessons. We appreciate that. He says, Lord, all these other guys will be offended, but not me, right? Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I will never be separated. I will never be offended. I'll never be turned off or turned away. Verse 34, verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times, Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise said all the disciples. Everybody said it. No, not me, not me, not me. No. What were they saying? They were saying, Jesus, you're wrong. Be careful about that one, huh? But how many of us have ever done that when we prayed and we try to convince God, he just doesn't understand. Right, Lord, if you just understood, you'd do this for me. If you just saw what I see, you'd do it. God knows. God sees. God's never, ever wrong. Verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them to the place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. very heavy. So remember Jesus, as he was on his way to Jerusalem, he stopped in a little town, and they say, you know, he doesn't even want to be here. It wasn't that he didn't want to be there, but he was preoccupied by what was ahead of him. He was working in those final weeks, even. Think about that. You know, there's a lot of talk, and I won't dismiss it because I hope it's true, but I won't put too much weight into it. With this solar eclipse coming on Monday, it's going to be the rapture. Hallelujah, let's do it. Let's have it. I'm ready to go. But but I wouldn't go out and do anything just in case, right? Somebody asked me years ago, said, Pastor, I believe the rapture's close. I said, yeah, me too. He said, can I go up and run up my credit cards and all that kind of stuff? I said, oh, you better not do that. You better live like you got to pay those bills. So it would be wonderful if the Lord comes back on Monday. I don't want to put it off that far. If he wants to come back right now, that's fine with me. But we have to understand that God has his timing, and we just have to go along with his plan. And so think about it. If it was going to be Monday, how would that change your week? Would you do anything different the next 4 or 5 days? If you knew for sure. Right? Well, look at Jesus. He's on his way to the cross. So he knows what's coming. So know that that affected what he did every day. And the way he talked to the apostles, he was preparing them that they would have to stand on their own. Yes, he would rise again the third day, and he would hang around, and he would minister to them for 40 more days. And it wouldn't be until the 50th day when the Holy Ghost would come upon them, but he was going to be absent just 3 days. And for the absence of those 3 days, he had to prepare them for what was ahead. Because he knew it was going to, just the crucifixion alone, the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion, just that would be traumatic to them. But then he lays in the grave and he's dead. Day two, he's still there. Well, I mean, of course he is. We saw him killed. Day three, he's still there. And don't you know how your life changes? And so here's somebody that thought was going to be the king and going to bring a revolution, and he's dead. They've invested their lives for 3 years. They walked away from everybody and everything. They've given him all, and he's gone. And he's got to prepare them for that. Now, Sunday morning, he got up. But he had to prepare them ahead of time. And just by saying this, after I'm risen, I will go before you in Galilee, he was telling them, but they weren't listening. He told them several times about the resurrection, but it didn't compute. Why? Because that doesn't happen. It's like us talking about the rapture. It doesn't happen. How many times did it happen? Never. Never. We talk about the worldwide flood, and people don't believe it. Why? Because it's never happened outside of that occasion. The parting of the Red Sea, the parting of the Jordan. These miracles, people don't believe because they don't see it. It's never been experienced. It's never been in the history books. It just doesn't occur. And so he had to prepare them. Something you've not seen, something you've not understood, is going to happen, though. Look at what he says in verse 38. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. I know from personal experience and from years of ministry that there are times in our lives where we just want to lay down and die. I am sorrowful unto death. Elijah had a great victory on Mount Carmel, and then he ran away. Sat under a juniper tree because old Jezebel threatened to kill him, and he was scared of her. He ran away and sat under a juniper tree and said, kill me, God. I just want to die. And God just let him sit there and heal. Because we can't talk people out of that stuff. they have to heal through that stuff. We have to get our strength back. Jesus, our Savior, the Son of God. He said to three people, you know, there's things you don't tell everybody, but he told Peter, James, and John. He said, I'm sorrowful unto death. It was so heavy on him. Think about what he was facing. First of all, those he'd ministered to and served with for 3 years would see all of that. But as he hung naked on that cross after receiving the worst beating that we can conceive, bloodied and broken and skin torn open, his mama would be standing right there in front of the cross. Don't you know that broke his heart because he knew it would break hers? He's facing that, and he goes and he says, oh, I'm so sorry. I just want to die. I'm sorrowful unto death. And he says to those three, tarry ye here, watch with me. Watch with me. Okay, a couple of things. Number one, we know that Judas has gone to betray him. We know that Judas is going to show up with a band of soldiers to arrest him where he'll be taken for trial and crucifixion. Jesus knows that. Watch with me. Keep an eye out. Watch. Pray. Be prayerful with me. Pray. Pray with me. Watch me. Pray with me. Don't forget, when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, he took the same three guys with him. What did they do? They fell asleep. What are they going to do here? Fall asleep. I mean, let's be fair. How many of us ever prayed for an hour and didn't fall asleep? All right. And so unless you're with other people, you get home by yourself and you close your eyes, you start to pray, there's a pretty good chance you're going to fall asleep. So if you're going to pray for an hour, you might want to pray with your eyes open. And so he was praying. But he says, look, hold on just a second. Let's go back to Gethsemane. He told those eight guys, what did he tell them? Sit here. What did he say with these three? He said, watch with me. Sit here. Watch with me. Were they different in their expectations? They had gone with them everywhere. They had preached. They had been part of the advanced teams. They had, you know, been on the sea with them, fed the thousands with them. All they had been everywhere with them. All 12 of them had been. But there were three that were especially close. He tells eight, I want you to stay here. Sit here. Hey, guys, it's okay if that's what God tells us to do is sit here. We can't all go on up the mountain. We can't all go that extra mile. And so people will come to me and say, well, Pastor, I just can't do anything but just sit here. You know, in the final night of ministry with the apostles, Jesus told eight of them, sit here. Amen. We might want to claim that, huh? You go to church and the preacher says you ought to be out knocking doors. And you ought to be out telling people about Jesus. And you ought to be singing the songs of praise and all that kind of stuff. And you go, well, all I can do is sit here. Then you know what? Sit here. That's what he told them. Can we at least do that? Because I'll tell you, there are a lot of the people in the church won't even do that. Sit ye here. Okay, he says to these eight, watch with me. Tarry ye here. Watch with me. And let me back up and just say this. When they said to him, we'll go with you to the death. We'll go with you to prison. We're not going to be offended. We're with you 100%. I believe they meant what they said. I believe they meant it. Well, he goes off and he prays. Verse 39, he said, oh, my Father. He went a little further. He fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Well, we have to understand what the cup is, don't we? You see, at Passover, the Lord's Supper, he had given them this cup. And he said, drink ye this. This is my blood, which is shed for many. Drink ye all of it. The crucifixion, the salvation, the gospel, the grace, it was in that cup. And so when we when we drink that cup, we're not drinking blood, we're drinking juice. I know there's religion that teaches that it turns into the blood of Jesus. It does not. It's juice. And so when he gave them that, he said, this is my covenant. This is my blood, the New Testament. And so what is that cup? He said, let this cup pass from me. The only way for us to be saved is for the Lamb of God to be sacrificed. It's the only way. By the way, the Bible says that he became sin for us. My sin was crucified on that cross. Your sin was nailed to that cross. My sin died on that cross. I don't have a record with God. God has no record of my sin because my sin is forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Jesus is 100% God. He's 100% man. And he's looking at this and he knows that he's going to be gone for 3 days. He knows what his mama's going to see. He knows what his friends are going to experience. He knows the sorrow of the church while he's gone. And he says, it's a lot. He says, Father, if there's any other way. And the Father said, well, if they'll just go to church and give a little bit and be good to others. No, he didn't say that, did he? He didn't say if they'll be good to their neighbor and if they'll get baptized. No, he didn't say that. There was no other way. Had there been another way, the Father would have answered his prayer in verse 39 and said, Son, here's what we're going to do. Jesus says, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He came to the disciples, verse 40, and found them asleep. And he said unto Peter. Peter gets picked on, doesn't he? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? See, that prayer, we read that little verse, it didn't last long. But he's been over there on his face praying for an hour. And he says to them, verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing. Jesus said, what you said that you wouldn't be offended, your spirit is willing. No doubt, I believe you. But we have flesh. And that's weak. He went away again, verse 42, the second time he prayed. Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came again and found them asleep. Their eyes were heavy. Verse 44, he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. You see, that cup was humiliation and public shame. Whipping and beating and spit and insults. And he said, thy will be done. He did that for you. That for you. People have a question if God loves them. We see it on the side of the road. I drive and I see these billboards on the side of the highway and I think, well, we ought to get it. We ought to put Jesus loves me. And I think, well, what will that do? What will people believe when they see that, when they read that? What will that say to them? Will they look at that Jesus loves me and will they think, or loves you, will they think, you know, that's me. He loves me. Or will they go, religious stuff. Let me ask you a question. Would somebody do this for you if they didn't love you? The Father, hearing this, put yourself in the Father's shoes. Here's the Father looking down, hearing his Son. Say, Father, if there's any other way, but before the foundation of the world, this plan was laid out. And it was determined that there was no other way. When Adam and Eve sinned, God took an animal and he slew that animal to give them skins that they could cover their nakedness. That animal died. Blood was shed. When Cain and Abel came to offer sacrifice unto God, Cain offered the first fruits and Abel offered a blood sacrifice. Why? Because that's what was required. When Abraham came out and before God, he laid out the sacrifice before God and he walked through the fire. Why? That's what was required, a blood sacrifice. And all of that was pointing to Jesus. When Jesus would die, when Jesus got baptized, John the Baptist had an announcement to make. He saw him coming and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." They might not have understood that. When Abraham was up there on Mount Moriah with Isaac, offering Isaac on that altar, and he raised the knife, and the angel of the Lord said, "Touch not the boy." And he's, hallelujah. And what did he find? He found a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. Why? Because the body was not blemished. The body was not bloody. And that's what was required for that sacrifice. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. Jesus came to him and said, "Sleep on now. Take your rest. The hour's at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up. Let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me." Jesus was crucified. And I know, I don't know about you, it seems like a long way to Sunday from here. It seems like a long way to Sunday. By this time, on that night, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a wealthy man, right around from Golgotha in a garden setting on the side of the hill, he was having a tomb chiseled out for his family so they could be buried there. There were many there that Passover celebration from all around Israel and all around the world. And they saw a crucifixion of three men. But the cross in the middle should have been mine. And it was. And Jesus took it for me and for you. Let's stand. Father, we love you. There's just no way for us to express the wonder of that occasion when our sins were paid for. The brutality we may be able to describe to some extent, but we know why. Because it was through that brutality that we received atonement, that our sins were washed away by the blood that poured out. God, we love you. We're thankful for our salvation that we only got through Jesus. Help us tonight to not only appreciate that, but to realize there's not a thing we could have done, because if there had been any other way, when Jesus prayed that prayer three times, that other way, that alternative would have been brought forth. We cannot suffer, we cannot pay, we cannot worship or be religious enough or good enough or sacrificial enough. The payment was made the only way it could be satisfied. And we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you. Dismiss us now with your grace. Forgive us our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.